Yes, the today's Shia is Le'ilu Nishmas. Rav David ben Moshe Halevi, the Neshama Shev Nalia. Taka, remember how getting Taka ran out of the middle of Shia when Taka just said that 6-7 years ago when it, yeah, so the Schos Taka of the Schabu is somehow closely connected to. Yes.
Seven years.
I think we were around. Yeah. Yes. It was, I must say, it's probably the only time that Gideon walked out in the middle of a share. It's probably the only time, one of the few times he missed a share, probably. So, there you go. Okay, boys, we're up to Simon Tov, Fesh Tzadi Vav. The poem is in the air. The poem is absolutely in the air. Okay, so Simon Tov, Fesh Tzadi Vav, we're up to see base. And we spoke yesterday about the halachas of not working on Purim. Who's got time anyway to go to work? But yeah. Okay, see base, page 324 in our Dishu editions. Ha'filipa makam shenagu, even if your minig is to work, lo'enoagu elo b'yemiko bilvat, it will only be by day. When you actually read the Megillah, but you're not going to forbid. So that's only the day to actually read the Megillah. So if you read the Megillah on the 14th, then the minig for those who have the minig is to not to the melach on the 14th. 15th, however, you're going to work normally. And vice versa. So if you are 15th Adar person, then that will be the minute to stop and refrain from doing melachah on the 15th, 14th, that you're going to work as normal. So that's what it means. The minute, it doesn't go as fast for both days. Siv Gimel. Yom Yudalet, V'yom Tezvav, the 14th, yeah. It's an interesting question. So it sounds like, from the word of the Shulchan Aruch, I'll probably be medayik, lo'inagolo b'yom mikro megillah belvad. It would appear... It's a very interesting question you ask, but it would appear that it's connected to the day you're yotze with the reading of the Megillah. So wherever you're going to be yotze the Megillah, that's the place you're going to refrain from doing melachos. Say gimel yudal yom tezvav asurim behefset v'tainis lechol odom v'chol mokim. So once we've just said previously, we just said now that the refraining of doing melachos from one day to the next doesn't apply. And if you have a meaning of refraining from doing melachos, that's only the 14th. However, with regards to hesped and tainus, that will be true on both days, irrelevant where you live. If you're Yerushalayim, or ben chutz la'aretz, mukofim, bozim, wherever you are, you're not going to do any hesped if need be, cholila, and tainus if need be, cholila, both on the 14th and the 15th, both days, there's an element of simcha, and therefore hesped and tanesim is forbidden. Beiliv nekrochim, shem oisim tezvav bilvat, it's on the 15th of Adar people. Beiliv nayor, shem oisim yudal bilvat, whether you're just a person who keeps the 14th. The question is, what happens if the seventh day, the seventh day of when somebody gets up to the shiva, is normally the day that one person would go to the Beis Olam. So if a person would want to go to the Beis Olam because it's the day he gets out of the shiva, the morning he gets up, and he would want to go, and that day happens to be the 14th or the 15th. So can he go to the Beis Olam on 14th or 15th. If it's the day, he gets up from the shiva. The says, it's also. You certainly can't go with the whole with other people. But the person himself who is the ovel, he can go himself. So that he can go, but without any surrounding people with him. Okay, what about the Tainus Chaloim? People wake up with a really bad dream, do you want to fast? On Shabbos you can. What about Purim? Pardon? Instead of, yeah, but it, what, you're right. That's alternative. Whatever person just wants to fast, it feels that he's only going to... So the Mishnah Berurah says in Tzivkotin Tess, the Indian Tanis Chaloim, with regards to a Tanis Chaloim, we don't do this so much anymore nowadays. You're right, if somebody has a bad dream, he'll generally just say the text, he won't actually fast. But there's plenty of gemaras and shulchan aruch about it. If somebody has a bad dream, he wants to fast, so on Shabbos he can fast. What about Purim? So Mishnah Berurah only tells us to see what we wrote in Siman Tov Reish Tadihei. So what's discussed over there is that he can fast, but he has to fast another day because of that fast, because he did something wrong on fasting on Purim. He's got to do tshuva on that. And the way he's going to do tshuva for fasting on Purim is by having an additional fast after Purim. So he has to add another fast to the fast day.
You don't fast on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Which is all very derisive. Why would you not be able to fast on Purim?
You do
tshuva
on Shabbos as well.
Yeah, I've forgotten that. You do tshuva on Shabbos as well. You're right, yes. Of course you do, yeah. The same halacha applies there too.
Oh, so you have any left.
Yeah. Yeah. See, the Dalet. No, sorry, just finish up. Yeah.
Sorry, just before we move on, I missed yesterday. Can you just very briefly clarify about working on Purim? You said something about the Megillah, the morning of the Megillah reading.
Yeah. It's just that it's a minhag to refrain from working. It's not globally accepted. If a person has the minhag, it will only be on the day that he reads the Megillah. It will not be on the other day, so 14th or 15th, whichever day you actually read the Megillah, that's the day you're going to refrain from working, if that is your menik.
And is that the whole day, or...?
Yeah, it will be the whole day. If that's the menik, that's the whole day. The Shulchan Aruch continues, V'anoshim ha'anois bohem, shekulon onos ka'achas. So if a person has if there is a kvur cholila, then the Shulchan Aruch finishes off Siv Gimel. Women do the inui. What's that? She kulon oinos kachas. They all answer. Metapchus de klap. Shemakos kafal kaf. These are all expressions of avelus. So the clapping of the hand is permitted. Avlo mikoinos, but mikoinos would be forbidden. She de achas medaberes kulon oinos kachas. That one of the ladies, she speaks and everybody answers after that. That is mikoinos, and that's normally accepted by a normal kvur, however, that will not be done on Purim. Nikba ameis, loy me'anois, loy me'koinois. Ready for Siv Dalet. Kol divrei avelus, everything which is regarding avelus. Noyagim b'chanukah v'purim. So regular avelus does apply on Chanukah and Purim. So some of these cholil and avel, so all the regular halachas of avelus do apply on Chanukah and Purim. Hago, ha'evim mikon mokim, yelech lebeis ha'knesses. Hamokim minachem eschem. Yeah. You would do that. You do go to shul. If a person who is an Obel, he will go to shul. Ishma Megillah, to hear the Megillah. So an Obel in the Shiva, who needs to be, generally he's restricted in, he has to stay at home. However, if he wants to listen to Megillah, he's allowed to go to the Megillah. If he can gather a minion to hear the Megillah at home, that's even better. But ideally, listen to a person who's an Ovel should listen to the Megillah at home. Get a minion, Megillah, in the Ovel house. If that's not possible, then he's allowed to go to shul. Others disagree. And they say, no, there is no Avelus on Purim. Just like there's no Avelus on Shabbos, there's also no Avelus on Purim. Loib Yudalad, Loib Tesvavna on the 14th and on the 15th. V'chein Nogin Dalet Zemenek. V'afilu Avelus Yom Rishon Nitcha B'pnei Purim. Even Avelus of the first day, which is the most severe, is pushed away on Purim. Purim, according to the Ramah, no avelos. However, the private restrictions do apply. The private, everything which is completely private, and a person wouldn't be allowed to do that on during the avelos. Those restrictions will still apply on Purim. However, everything open, everything public, these are halachos avelos don't apply on Purim. Although she'enoyeg avelos before, although Purim does not have any halachas of avelus, oyder leminyan shiva, do count it as 7 days. Yimei avelus kamo shabbos v'chein posuk rabbi atzmai b'tur yeredeh. So although we know, that a person needs to have a shiva, needs to have 7 days of avelus, and if one of those days happens to be Purim, don't tell me, there's no halachas of avelus, so we've got to add another day, extra day at the end, an additional day to make up for the 7 days. No, we don't say that. It's just as if he lost that day of avelus, and he's going to get up on the regular day. Im chol Purim matzah shabbos. What happens if Purim falls on Motzei Shabbos? What happens is that on Shabbos, the Yid was sitting in shul. Shabbos Mincha was sitting in shul, and Chalila Bar Minon hears that his close relative is Nifta, and this happened, says Shulchan Aruch, with Mincha time on Shabbos, and on Motzei Shabbos is Purim. So what is he meant to do? Shulchan Aruch says Lo Yetze Misham. He's allowed to remain there, and in fact, as she's followed for last Arvis, he's allowed to remain in shul, davening Maariv. He's allowed to listen to the Megillah, and on the subsequent day, he shouldn't exit the house. So, since the Avelus happened, it took place when he was Shabbos and he was in Shul, he's allowed to stay there physically, because it was Shabbos, Mincha, he's allowed to stay there for Maariv, because of Megillah, he goes home, and from then onwards, he's not allowed to leave home anymore. Yeah. Very good. We'll talk about these halachas in a minute. Yeah, sure. Of course, we're talking about if you mean in terms of Vilchis Oinim?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. That's indeed. Yeah. This is as if, let's say, he hears about the p'tir of a close relative. Right, not halachas. Thank you for clarifying this. Yeah, not halachas. Animus or not? It's not that. Okay, that's very relevant, and this is a common mistake. This is a machlokes where an ovel is chayv b'shlach monos, and some say that an ovel is obligated to send b'shlach monos. Comes the Rambam and he says, "Aval ein sholchin le'ovel kol yud beis chodesh." What about giving to an ovel b'shlach monos? And that's something one has to keep in mind. There's always in every kehilah, in every society, these avelim, and I'm talking about the avelim of the 12 months. Shulchan Aruch says, the Rama says, "Ein sholchin la'avel kol yud beis chodesh." The entire 12 month, you will not send mishlach manas to somebody who's an avel. So you have to keep that in mind, and the mistakes do happen, and one has to just keep in mind if somebody is within 12 months of losing his close relative, one does not send him mishlach manas. Why not? Pardon? Simch, of course, Mishlebura says. In Sivkot Yudches, Chayv Shlach Monos. Sorry, in Sivkot Yudches. Avol Ein Sholchin Ovel. Afilu Dabo She'en Shal Simcha. Even if it's something which is not Simcha related. So even if you think, you know, he's not going to enjoy that particular Shlach Monos so much, you know, but nevertheless, ultimately, every Shlach Monos gives some sort of joy and happiness, and therefore, you know, I have to give somebody, you know, during the Avelus, is meant to have some restriction and some. So you don't give Shlachmanis to somebody who's an Avelus. Yeah, I hear that. But, right, but there's obviously some distinction. What about Matanis Levyonim? Yeah, what if a person.
Rabbi?
Yeah?
Sorry, does he have a chiyuv to give Mishlachmanot?
Yeah. Yeah. So, the Sivkot Yudzayin clarifies this in Mishneh Berurah. She'ovel afilu toich shiva, even within the 7 days, tochayev kol mitzvahs amuras b'toira, because he's obligated to any mitzvahs. At the end of the day, he may be an oval, and it's very unfortunate that he lost a close relative, but he's still got obligations. All the rabbinical obligations still apply to him. Therefore, he's got. Yes, he does have to give shlachmanas. Matanes Levyonim is a person who is a very poor man and happens to be in his 12 months of Avelus. Is he allowed to accept Matanes Levyonim or not? Like, you're not allowed to get Shlachmanas. He's not allowed to receive Mishlachmanas. Is he allowed to receive Matanes Levyonim? Absolutely. Absolutely. He doesn't say anywhere that somebody who's in 12 months has to be poor and miserable. He doesn't say that. If Nebuchadnezzar needs help, so, you know, by all means, help him. It's nothing to do with simcha. Mishlach Manas is a matter of simcha. But Matanes Levyonim, by all means, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, he lost his close relative. Now he has to live in poverty as well. So this halacha probably applies, yes, so there's a distinction. Mishlach Manas is something you give to anybody, even to the, you know, to Bill Gates. So there's nothing to do with his financial situation. However, Bill Gates actually, you know, the guy is not, you know, but I'm saying, but in terms of Mishlach Manas, everything is not, but that's just Simcha. It's Simcha Beos, it's Simcha. In terms of Matanis, we're not something which is clearly related to poverty. And that
Rabbi,
person doesn't. Yeah.
Rabbi?
Yes, Stephen. Good question. That's a really good question. Very interesting point. Rabbi says, Stephen asked a good question. What if a person is an Ovel, but could his close family member accept Mishlach Manos on his behalf? So say you've got a Mr. and Mrs., and say the Mr. is an Ovel, or vice versa, the Mrs. is, would you be allowed to send Mishlach Manos for the partner on behalf of? So what are your thoughts on that, Rabbi said? Yeah, so if you're giving it to the partner, that's okay. But you have to, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes you can't do it. If the relationship is a pure male relationship and you have got no connection whatsoever to the missus, you know, for instance, an employer, for argument's sake, and Mishlach Manos is a kind of a male kind of yusefa, you know, and there's no room for giving it to the missus and addressing it to the... He has to make sense as well. So if it makes sense, then yeah, you can address to her and give it the family kind of Mishlach Manos. But if it is clearly the Mishlach Manos for him, then you can't. It doesn't help by just addressing it to her. Correct. So yeah, I suppose you just write down family or something like that. Yeah, so but you're right. It's quite difficult to do it in an appropriate way. Yeah, yes. It's already, you're right. It's already pointing out, the Mishnah Berurah does say that even if they're married, it's been extended to that kind of global minhag. Yeah, kind of further restrictions, yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, with regards to Matanis Lavion, I'm just going to read this inside. This is in Seif Cotton. Yes, if got new test, I will ain't shall chin over, I will double shayna shall sim, I feel the double shall sim, even if it's a non simcha object, nevertheless, you don't give Matanis Levionim, excuse me, don't give Mishlach Manos to an Ovel. Veima Ovelu Oni, however, if the Ovel is a poor man, slightly Munidi. You are not to give him financial support even within the 7 days, because that's no different than stocker. It's really closely connected to stocker, really. Yeah. Now we said that how long are you not allowed to give Shlach Manos to a novel? How long? 12 months. That's with regards to father and mother. What about other close relatives, siblings, and etc.? How long is the Avelus there? 30 days. So for other close relatives, besides father and mother, it's 30 days. There you also have to, if somebody lost. Well, I just realized now, I just know somebody that lost his brother, and that's within 30 days. Right. That's one Shlach Manos knocked off now, yeah. So just realize now, Taka lost a brother. So then you don't give it in 30 days, you don't give Mishnah Achmonas. Because that's like Shilah Sholem, also Yud Beis Chodesh, which you're not allowed to do, again, like Shilah Sholem, you're not allowed to do Yud Beis Chodesh. Similarly, also Mashlech, Monois, not within 12 months. Okay. Yeah. Siv Zayin. No, sorry, there's one more line over here. V'im ein bo'ir, I'm at the end of Sivo. V'im ein bo'ir lo ovel im ache. What happens if there's this very small village? There's only two Jews, only two Yidden. And there's the ovel, one of the two Yidden is an ovel. So there's an ovel plus one person. So, and you want to, the only way you can fulfill Mishlach Manos is by actually giving to this ovel. You have no choice. You don't have Amazon Prime, you know, you want to just, So the only person who can give Shlach HaManas is to this individual, the fellow Yid who lives in town. There's one person besides you, and that other individual happens to be an Ovel. What are you going to do? Give him Shlach HaManas, yes or no? You have got obligation. You have to send to the Ovel Shlach HaManas. You give him Shlach HaManas. Elohim, Kein Mochel Ovel Amanoso, unless the Ovel is Moichel. That brings us back to an earlier Rama, which taught us. Oh, what's the contradiction? Very good. So we learned, you're right. So we learned the machloikis about this. The Rama's opinion is, if I want to give you Shlach HaManas, say, no, thank you, it's really good, thank you, but no, thank you. You, we said the Rama holds that. Your Yotze. The Prichodosh we learned is disagrees. And he says, you're not Yotze, you actually physically have to give him Shlach HaManas. But the Rama himself, so you're right in pointing out, the Rama himself holds that you can't be Moichel Shlach HaManas, because it's the wish. It's what's called, it's the thought that counts. It's the thought that counts. I want to give a Shlach HaManas. She said, no, thank you, it's all right. So you're Yotze the mitzvah, because it's the thought that matters. But more over here also, if you've got the Ovel, the only person you've got in town is that particular Ovel. Do you want to give him a Shlach HaManas? But it's a problem, because he's an Ovel in the 12 month. So he's allowed to say, you know, it's fine, I'm not accepting Shlach HaManas, because I'm in the Ovel of my late, you know. So then you have fulfilled the mitzvah and he didn't accept the Mishlach HaManas, which is that you got the best of both worlds. However, the Pri Chodosh, as you said, disagrees, and you also pointed out that many hold that you're not Yotze by just wanting to give a Shlach HaManas. You physically need to give actively a Shlach HaManas. So according to that opinion, also with an Ovel in town, you have no choice but to actually physically give him a Shlach HaManas, despite the fact that he's an Ovel. Yeah. And finally, Siv Zayin, Yesh Misha Oy, Misha Oynin Mutav Vosav Yayin. That was the discussion of an Oynin. You mentioned Oynin. So again, an Oynin is a person that lost his, he's before burial. Somebody lost a close relative and he's before burial. So what's the halacha generally regards to an Oynin? Yes, he doesn't do any mitzvahs, I say. So, what about Purim? Very unfortunate, his close relative died on Purim. Is he allowed to have a Purim meal, yes or no? No? No Purim meal? Yes, Purim meal. Yes, Purim meal? Oynin, before burial. Purim Suda, yes or no? So there's a Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Mishayim, some say, Oynin Mutav Vosav Yayin. Oynin is permitted to have meat and wine. To Leyotzi Aseh, the Yochid Avelus, because the Aseh of Avelus, Vdochi Aseh, the Rabbim, doesn't push Aseh, the Vdochi Aseh, the Rabbim, the Reiser. Happiness on Purim is like the Kabbalah. We have mentioned that what's the Kabbalah? It's like this Drabonon, which is loaded with the Raisa, which is higher. The Kabbalah is right in between. We mentioned that previously. The Kabbalah is right between. The Kabbalah comes from the Nevi'im. So it's higher than the Drabonon, lower than the Raisa. And generally, we look at the Kabbalah, such as Hanukkah, such as Purim, we look at the Kabbalah as the Raisa. Therefore, we look at the fact of the mitzvah of having a Suda on Purim, we look at it not mamash like a deraisa, but close enough to it. Therefore, if a person is an oinen, he is meant to have. I mean, now I want to just point something out. We spoke the other day about having miti on the Purim Suda. Especially this year, a lot of people are asking, is it okay to have a milky or, you know, fish kind of Purim Suda if you're having it before Chatzos, like the Ramah says, you want to have it early. So can you? So I don't know why. I have a bit of a mystery over here. And we said that it's Machloikas Achronim, Minigis to Rimachme, but we said that there's no absolute explicit proof that you've got to have it meaty. Now, this Shulchan Aruch over here to me sounds like there's a black and white proof it's got to be meaty. Why? Why does it sound to me like this? It sounds to me like this because he says an Oynein is allowed to have meat and wine. So, if you don't need to have wheat and wine, if you do not need to have, I was about to say wheat and wine. No wheat and wine. No, if you meat and wine. If Oynin is allowed to have meat and wine, surely it's because it's a mitzvah to have meat and wine. So there you go. So you've got a proof that you've got to have nearly on the Geisel level. I don't know why it's not brought down this line. I didn't see it. But not as a part of a... The point of it is that it's as...
I don't understand why it needs to be a proof, though. It could just be that, generally speaking, we have these guys. I don't know, even if he's at the suitor, he'd have these guys. That doesn't mean...
What are you saying? It's not part of Mishnah and Simcha. Well,
no, I mean, that's the minhag to have to meet wine. So if the wine is there, it can have meat wine.
But if it doesn't, then
Does it mean that there's nothing?
Ah, yeah, I think it's a bit of a kvetch, that. I think it's more meduk to say that he's owning a mutter boss with that. Okay, to summarize this evening, I think it's a bit shver. To summarize, we learned today, we learned Baruch Hashem, we learned that hesbentinus is no hesbentinus 14 and 15. We learned that Avelus is not a Khanik and Pura Kul Shulchan Aruch Moses. It's not, doesn't only Tzidavot Tzidatzina. We learned that Ovel is Chayim Shlach Monas, however you don't give an Ovel Shlach Monas. And we learned that an Oinen is allowed to Bosli Yain. All these halachas tomorrow, Mitzah Hashem, I wish you a very good evening.